720 WGN 509. Hope you're having a great Saturday. That's right, we're talking about marijuana right here. We're wild and willy today. 16 years in the NBA, drafted right out of high school.
First round selection.
Pacers, Knicks. That's right, Al Harrington. Thank you for joining us. I was going to go through your whole resume, but we don't have to do that. He was a Warrior. He was a Nugget. He was a Magic.
Bulls killer.
He was a Bulls killer. He was a Washington Wizard. But one day, his grandmother was suffering with glaucoma and diabetes, and Al wanted to help his grandmother. And all of a sudden, he thought, you know what, Grandma, you should try marijuana. Is that basically the story here, Al?
Yeah, that's the story, yeah. I was able to get her to, you know, try cannabis. She's suffering from glaucoma really bad. And, first day she said no, second day she said yes. She was in so much pain, she was willing to try anything. And after she tried it, I went to go check on her like an hour and a half later, and she was downstairs reading her Bible. You know, and she told me that the first time. You know, she had been able to, you know, read the words in her Bible in over 3 years. So, you know, that's what inspired me to, you know, take a serious look at this industry and, you know, realize the power of the plant and that I can help a lot of people. You know what I'm saying? And here we go, you know, 8 years later, still doing it.
You know, Al, there's a lot of people that'll hear, you know, the cannabis industry and they'll think Cheech and Chong, but I've heard from patients young and old alike, as well as professional athletes, that there's really no comparison for killing pain, that marijuana is much more effective. Can you amplify on that?
Yes, plants over pills, man. I mean, you know, this plant was, you know, God created this plant. I mean, we all can grow cannabis in our homes. We cannot go and make Vicodin and opioids and different things like that. You know what I'm saying? Those are drugs. You know what I'm saying? So, and what's amazing about it is the fact that people get instant relief from it too. You know what I'm saying? And without all the side effects, without the harmful things, you know, I always laugh about those commercials where, you know, they recommend all these different drugs and there's a cure this and that, and then they, you know, at the end, the side effects, they run by real fast. And it's all, you know, instant death, internal bleeding, all the risk you take for that. But cannabis, you don't have to deal with any of that. You know what I mean? So, I mean, it's so obvious. You know, the writing's on the wall. It's just, you know, it's up to people like myself and the activists, you know, before me and that are joining with me to continue to tell our stories and just change the stigma of this plant.
So people think, oh, NBA guy doing marijuana, getting in the business, they think, well, what'd you do, smoke before every game? But you actually were not somebody that used when you played, is that correct?
That is very correct. I smoked before.
Oh, no. Al, your phone is high.
Can you hear me now? Yeah, we're good.
All right, I'm sorry. Before my grandmother's running with cannabis, before that, I had tried it one time. And to be honest, I had a bad experience. And, you know, I had a bad experience because the stuff that I tried for the first time was pretty much too strong for me.
Was it Mookie Blaylock stuff?
It was not Mookie stuff. It was not Mookie. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I tell people all the time, it's like, you know, with this plant, you know, because there's so many different characteristics of the plant, terpene profiles and different things like that, you have to kind of, you know, trial and error sometime with the plant. You know what I mean? And you know, that's the beauty I feel like of it, is because it's something out here for all of us. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, for me throughout my career, I took my career very serious. And I thought that, you know, using cannabis would not allow me to be the best player that I can be. But boy, was I wrong. You know what I'm saying? And it's all about responsible consumption. It's just like, the same way that guys don't drink liquor before the game will be the same way that they would not use cannabis before the game. Because at the end of the day, I don't want to, you know, go out there and have to play against Steph Curry and Kevin Durant high. Like, why would I do that? You know what I'm saying? That makes absolutely no sense. You know what I'm saying? So do I have a tough enough time dealing with those guys. You know what I'm saying? So I just think that, you know, more and more players should have access to it. And I think that, you know, a lot of these leagues are starting to pay attention and realize that this is an alternative way for, you know, athletes to medicate themselves, and to be a lot safer.
What do you think it looks like, Al, for guys, you know, especially in the NFL, and I'm sure you have conversations with guys who play or at least have played, where they're normally taking all sorts of shots after games and medicating themselves, perhaps, you know, with alcohol or whatever it is to calm down after playing. And in some parts of America, it's legal. In some parts, it's not. And some leagues, like the NHL, is testing a lot less for weed. And football and basketball seem to be creeping that way, but we haven't gotten there yet. I mean, what's your sense of what's coming?
I think it's coming. I think, like I said, I think the writing's on the wall. I think they've realized it. I think there's enough evidence out here from, you know, from tests and, you know, people's everyday, you know, testimonies about, you know, the things that they deal with. And you talk about the NFL guys. Like, I literally just even a track meet for my daughters, and I was talking to two former NFL guys, and they were literally talking to me about how they was eating, you know, taking 2 to 3 Vicodin before the game, 1 at halftime, and 3 after the game. And are you, that makes no sense. And then one guy was telling me that, you know, his knee was always so sore. He had to get his knee drained before the game, and he had to get shots on his ankle just to go out there and compete.
It's crazy.
And then he was just like, and then his last year in the league, when he just knew he was done, he was settled, he had all the money he needed, he said, "I'm smoking cannabis. I'm not taking no more of them pills." And he said it was like one of the best seasons that he ever felt. You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, I just feel like, obviously, cannabis is way healthier. It's a safer option. And I think that if you really care about the athletes, if you care about your star athletes and the players that you root for, you should want these guys to be able to use cannabis.
Al Harrington, who played in the NBA for a decade and a half, on with At the Carm and Hey Tweet Harry on WGN Radio. We're talking about his billion-dollar cannabis business. The other thing, Al, is opioid addiction kills people. And if you have a marijuana addiction, the worst thing that happens is you finish the entire container of ice cream.
Very good point. And I think that was to my first point when we first started, when I talked about plants over pills. It's like, we could sit in a room. You could put us in a 10,000 square foot room, and that's three. All three of us can sit there and smoke every bit of the weed in there, and we will not die. But if we take 5 or 10 of these opioid pills, there's a chance that we're in trouble. You know what I'm saying? So to me, it's just, you can't even compare the two. You know what I'm saying? And at this point, like I said, just people just have to open their eyes, stop being ignorant, and just realize that, you know, there's a new day. We've been lied to for decades, and, you know, now we're here to tell the truth.
All right, your company and how much weed you guys are producing, please.
Producing, you know, somewhere around 2 or 3 tons a year right now, just for the facilities that we have. But, you know, we plan on keep scaling that up, brother. We need more. We don't make enough of it. How about that?
So, and you're in how many states now, Al?
Right now, I'm in 4 states, and I'm working on 2 more right now to hopefully close in the next 3 months.
And what are the 4?
The 4 is Michigan, Colorado, Oregon, and California.
Dude, we could be in Michigan like in 2.5 hours. You got an address for us?
I'll see you there. Yes, sir. Let's go.
And, Al, I don't want to get all up on your finances, but you made a boatload of dough playing in the league. I don't know if you took care of your money or you didn't take care of your money, but it seems like you did because you had enough to invest in this. So obviously everybody wants to make more, but this seems like something that wasn't necessarily done because you wanted to add to your pocketbook, or maybe it was. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. What would you say?
I'm going to be honest, man. It was not about me making money. It literally was seeing what it did for my grandmother and realizing that, you know, with this, we could help a lot of people. And I promise you right now, my focus is not on margin. My focus is on quality. You know what I'm saying? I want to make sure that every time a patient tries a Viola product, that they have a great experience every single time. And that experience is to get relief from whatever that they're dealing with. And I feel like the money will come. You know what I'm saying? I have to be honest. I've been running my company 8 years, and I still only take a salary from my company. You know what I'm saying? I'm so locked into just, you know, creating and building this brand the right way and let it stand for quality so that people will trust us for years to come.
Well, not taking a salary, some people might think you're sampling the product.
Yeah, you know, I might take my salary and product. No,
hey, Al, if you could pick one coach that you played for or one guy that you played with or against who would be a much better person to deal with if they were to smoke Viola marijuana, who would that be?
George Karl. let's just start there. We could definitely medicate George a little bit.
I always thought the actor John Lithgow should play George Carlin in a movie.
Yeah, right. And I don't know player wise. I mean, I never had any issues with any of my teammates. Everybody obviously was always unique, and we had some strange guys or whatever. But you know, I know guy that I really wanted to put. You know, that I feel like he should have smoked, and he'd have been a better player or a better person to be around.
We're up against the clock here, but I just want to ask you two quick NBA questions. Number one, the scene in Utah last week with Russell and the fan. The fan gets banned. Russell gets fined $25,000. Do you think? And you were around the NBA when the Malice in the Palace happened. You had just left Indiana, so you weren't there. But do you think that there needs to be more done with fans who, for whatever reason, think they can say whatever they want to players?
It's not number one. Okay, first I'll just start with that $25,000 fine for Russell. There's no way they really fined him. They had to do that just for media, right? Because there's no way that you could take this kid's money for that. Second thing, it's nothing you can do with the fans. You can't stop them from saying what you're going to tell them before they come in. Don't say anything. At the end of the day, when they say something, we just need people around them to police it. Say, this is the guy talking like that, and let's get him out of the game. That simple.
Okay, and then one more. What was your experience with James Dolan, who's taken away Knicks season ticket fans?
He's the owner of the Knicks, of course.
The owner of the Knicks who's telling guys yelling, sell the team! Next thing you know, Dolan sent his security, hey, get that guy out of here, and by the way, you can no longer come to a Knicks game. The dude's out of control, Al.
He's definitely out of control, man. But it's funny because a lot of people, you know, I played with the Knicks those 2 years, and everybody's like, James must have been a jerk, and this, that, and the third. I was like, I'm going to be all the way honest about it with him. You never saw him. So I never had a relationship with him. You know what I'm saying? The only relationship I had with him was through the media, the same way you do right now. So as much as you know about James Dolan, as much as I know about him in my 2 years with the Knicks.
When you were on the Knicks, is that when he wiretapped the players' bench?
No, I was not there for that. I was not there for that.
All right, so Al, people want to get your product. Well, how do they get your product?
So you have to be in the state that we produce. So you have to be in California, Oregon, you know, Michigan, or Colorado. But I also have a CBD line, which I made for athletes, for professional players and athletes that need pain relief. And it's called ReplayHemp.com. So you can visit the website, and we have a full line of products. And, you know, I promise if you try it, you will not be upset that you did.
Al, great to talk to you. Congrats on your success, and hopefully we can catch up again here. It was great having you on.
I appreciate you guys having me.
It was our pleasure. Al Harrington, former NBA
Al,
guy.
We'll do it again, Al.
Crushing the marijuana business. Quick timeout, 720 WGN.